Hello and welcome to another episode of Not Alone Today podcast. My name is Joseph.
And I am Anu. Welcome back.
You look good.
Thank you.
That's random. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So we have an interesting question today that is from Chichi, and the question is directed to Anu, and I would let her own it, read the question, and let's talk about it.
You know, I can say all that by myself, but let's go. Okay. So Chichi said she's in a relationship with a young man who has a call into full-time ministry and wants to know what I would advise. Chichi also has her own ministry. So, okay. So, before I go on, Kola, what are your thoughts?
Why are you throwing it to me? It's supposed to be your question, but yeah, what are my thoughts? I think the first thing that comes to mind is that understanding of the fact, basically, that both of you have ministries. Mm-hmm. The fact that I had a call and still do, so it's not past tense.
The fact that I have a call into ministry, and again, I have a question mark around the terminology of full-time ministry, as though to say some people are in part-time ministry. I know we use that terminology exclusively for those that are not into bivocational ministry, but ministry is ministry, and we are all full-time ministers in that sense. So just to take that out of the way. But having said that, the fact that I'm into ministry, in pastoral ministry, doesn't make anything really much different in that sense. You also have a ministry. Every child of God has a call upon his or her life. Mm-hmm. There is a general call in which we're all supposed to become like Jesus Christ. Yes. That's generic. But specifically, God has shaped us in different ways to serve the body. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's all about, first and foremost, understanding your ministry. I understand my ministry, and we both want to figure out how we can work together to support one another to fulfill our ministries, basically. And of course, if God is the one bringing us together, he's doing that as the God that knows it all. Yes. And knows that our callings are supposed to complement one another. Complement, not duplicate, not replicate. You don't have to be me, I don't have to be you, but I'm supposed to minister in a way that fuels you to do what God has called you to do, and you're supposed to minister in a way that fuels me to do what God has called me to do. So we're supporting one another, building one another up in that regard. But yeah, I know in practicalities, it's a little more complicated than I've made it sound. So hopefully you come to that.
Yeah, I have a question. Like, I'm directing this to you. You say that our ministries, should complement.
Yeah.
What we're doing together.
Yeah.
And not
replicate or duplicate
what's on ground. What about culturally? What's expected of you? Culturally, if you're a pastor's wife, you're expected to be everywhere, every time.
You're not God.
Mm-mm. But that's a misconception. That is what we young ladies, that's what we saw before I got married to you.
Yeah. I think that narrative needs to be critiqued. We need to unlearn some of these templates that we have learned, in the manner of speaking, or picked up. I've seen it again and again, especially in African Christianity, if you will, whereby the fact that the husband is a pastor almost necessarily means the wife too must have pastor or some relative title that looks like that before her name. And that means she also needs to step on the pulpit every now and then to preach and do ministry in that sense. That's fine if indeed the person also has a pastoral call, and that's okay. But oftentimes you then begin to see these ladies that are struggling to do things their husband do because they believe people are expecting that they should be able to do that to validate their pastor wifey status or whatnot. I don't think that's how it should be. Apart from the fact that, maybe my background kind of shaped me in a sense, but I believe, biblically speaking as well, at the end of the day, we are individuals, two distinct, uniquely gifted individuals with unique calls upon our life that God is bringing together to make those calls complement one another. That doesn't mean that, irrespective of what people are expecting. And I think we need to start changing that narrative by modeling examples of what it can be like to show that, yeah, you as a person that is in a relationship with a pastor's wife, don't start thinking of the expectation of people. Yeah. Primarily, and this applies to anybody anyways, but primarily we all have an audience of one, your caller. The one that is both your caller and your joiner. He's the one that called you and is the one that is joining you, is your matchmaker, if you will. Let him be the one to be the judge of what in practical terms doing ministry will look like in your relationship with this pastor, so to speak.
I like Alva. Thank you for giving us that premise. That's very good.
Thank you for turning what was supposed to be your question over to me.
No, I'm going to talk about it now. I just wanted to hear your perspective as a man.
Okay.
But now I'm going to talk about it as I have lived it.
Gagan.
Yes, basically.
So I'll hear my report card.
Yeah. So basically, when I got into a courtship with you, I thought I needed to be like you. I thought I needed to listen more at Bible study and contribute more. It was just a lot of pressure and nobody was asking me to do this.
I was going to ask that. Was I the one mounting the pressure?
I think it's because of what I've seen. You know how you see the pastor's wife, like when you, like during sermon, now they will preach and things. And the thing is, what the Spirit taught me then was to know that I am no luapo. I am enough. I don't have to be more because he's joined me with a man who has a calling. So what happened was, okay, we were serving then in Gombe, right? Doing our NYSA.
Yeah.
And you were like, you were the Bible study coordinator. We called him Rabbi. See, imagine being in a relationship with the Rabbi. What?
That was a weird title. They actually started with Rema. I fought that title with tooth and nail. I was like, nobody's gonna call me Rema. What does Rema even mean, for goodness sake? I'm not the revealed word or spoken word or whatever Rema means. And then they said, okay, but we need a title, so we're gonna stick with Rabbi.
So imagine coming from a Muslim background and being in a relationship with a rabbi. It was one of the reasons actually that I delayed in saying I'm ready to you, because I wasn't sure I was able to carry that load. Yeah, it was a load to me because of what I had seen before. So how did I manage it? How I managed it was, I knew that I was enough. And my ministry then, I like helping people. And during our NYC, while we're in the hostel living in, I was the assistant sisters coordinator. That means I do the cooking and cleaning up in the kitchen and things. And when we have big events that Kola would preach in, I would be the one in the kitchen serving people that listens to him and things like that. So sometimes I don't get to dress up for church. What other people are dressing up to go to church and looking in their finest. I am in the kitchen with my soiled skirt, with a scarf around my hair, serving people and trying to make sure the jollof rice is not burning, the chicken is fried, the drinks are ready, the fruit salad is ready, the fire, like, I just need to make sure everything is going on well. So when I knew that I was enough, I set it into my role so perfectly. And we worked together. There are times where I would miss his sermons and his Bible study things, but then we'll talk about it later and we'll discuss everything that has gone through. But knowing that I am enough was so satisfying and so relieving. Because even now, thinking about it, if I had taken that mentality I had into marriage, it would have been a lot of struggle for me.
Absolutely.
That was how it was for me when we were courting.
I'm just thinking again from in further practical terms, especially post-Gombe, but still before we got married.
Yes.
I mean, immediately I sensed fully and came to terms with the fact that, okay, I'm called into pastoral ministry and I want to go for it in full in that sense. The next thing I did was to go and submit myself under the leadership of another pastor. And it was a very busy context.
Oh boy.
And I knew that impacted our relationship in ways that...
So much.
Basically. The irony was I did not see how it was impacting our relationship. I remember having a conversation with some guys in church shortly after you came to the UK, and I was still in Nigeria and all that, and they were just discussing about the women in their lives, either their wives or the person they're in a relationship with. I think most of them are actually married, and they're just talking about demanding women can be and this and that. And I just looked at all of them and smiled and said, I just thank God for the kind of person God gave me. She doesn't bother me. She's just so simple, so easygoing. If I don't call her in 3 days, she's fine with it. And all of them were just like with their mouths agape, like if she's acting like she's not feeling it, you better pick the phone and call her. And things like that, like you don't take that for granted. Basically, they were trying to let me see. And indeed, I didn't know that my not being as available, as intentionally available as I could have been, I didn't know that was impacting you in ways. Maybe you want to talk about that yourself in your
yes,
own words.
Yes, it did. Like the reason it affected me so much was because when I told you I was ready and we were courting, I didn't really like you that much. Like, liked you, but not love. But then...
Pause on that.
Just for the sake of the listeners.
Yes.
I should say that for a whole year and 6 months, so that's like 18 months after she agreed to marry me. I mean, this is not like she agreed to, okay, let's be friends. No, she literally, she said she's ready. Those were her words. I'm not kidding. I'm ready. And yet, despite being ready, we'll have phone conversations and I'll be like, I love you. And she will tell me, thank you. I did not hear I love you too until after 18 months of being in a relationship where I'm just like, oh my God, what's going on here? How would you ever say I love you to a lady and the best she could say to you is thank you or okay? The okay is even worse. I love you. Okay. Talk to you later. Bye. Oh my world.
Okay.
But yeah, that's, I just thought to chip in that to buttress the fact that you really didn't like me.
I sound bad. That wasn't intentional.
What was the idea behind?
The reason it took long to say I love you was because I wasn't feeling it.
Yeah, I thought so.
I remember I said I was ready under the conviction of the Holy Spirit that you are my husband. Mm-hmm. So I didn't see you have feelings for you. Mm-hmm. And I had the conviction that would have been easier to say I love you in a few months because I had already, we know each other. Mm-hmm. You were more like almost like a pastoral figure, so to say. Let me not talk about that. Let me not go into those realms.
Fair enough. I think it actually made me love you in a unique way. Like, I mean, it gave me some undescribable respect for you.
Yeah.
Initially, it was weird, and then I took it to God and I was like, God, what's this? What kind of babe is this one? And mark my words, God was like, she's more romantic than you could ever think. And that was all I needed. The fact that God said, yeah, she might not show it, she might not feel it, she might not express it now, but just take it like that. And and I took it like that.
Thank you, eventually, Jesus, for helping me out.
The first day she said it, oh my God, it was like, I won $1 million jackpot. Okay, I love you.
I love you too.
Oh, thank God. She still says it. Hallelujah.
So, eventually, I started falling in love. Oh, people. Goddamn. I fell in love so hard. And it was at its busiest. I don't know how love does people that are just newly in love. It was shocking me. And the way, it was a long distance relationship. So, the only way I could get the fact that the person that I'm in love with is in love with me is to have that communication, and it wasn't there because it was a pastor. Oh man, it was, I think I was more bitter about the people giving you those tasks to do.
I can imagine.
Than the fact of that it was your ministry. That's when I realized that our relationship, it wouldn't be like normal couples where they do things the normal way. So I began to readjust my expectations and things. And I think, to be really very, very honest, courting a pastor to be or a pastor is, it takes things from you
Yeah.
Yes, it takes things from you. Say, for example, when I was growing up, I've always admired those couples that would sit down together in church. When the pastor says something, they look at each other and smile. Aww. And look back. Hey, when I got married, is either my husband is the one talking, or is that the pulpit, or is the one handing out flyer, or and there I am juggling the babies and everybody. Yeah, I miss that out. I think when we still had church before mm-hmm. the lockdown, it's one of the things that I still think, oh, I wish we could just sit down together. And the times that my husband will actually have the time to sit down, he'll sit either behind me or in front of me. Because he says I talk like distracting. Which is true. So yeah, there are things you might have to forfeit. And yeah. You don't lose yourself in forfeiting those things. Mm. The thing is, if you find your ministry,
yeah.
you wouldn't miss out.
Mm.
Thank God for the lockdown and the fact that we're able to do church online. Yeah. So most of the things, the sitting down together, we get to do it in our youth group. But it doesn't now that I'm doing it, it doesn't make any difference. Mm, there's some things we wish for that we think they're the biggest deal, but they're not deal breakers. You find that even when you start to do them, you wouldn't even realize you guys have started doing them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to see if you acknowledge God as the joiner, it would make life easy and bearable with both of you in your ministries.
Absolutely.
And yeah, that is what I'd say about that.
Yeah, that's very helpful. To kind of recapitulate what you're saying, it's one to say that both of us or individually we have ministries,
mm-hmm.
And those ministries are supposed to complement one another.
Yes.
But also in practicality, to understand that you need to shift your expectations
Mm-mm.
or readjust your expectations.
Like sleeping alone most nights.
How many nights do you sleep alone?
You say that like you sleep alone every night. But yeah, I mean, that's not necessarily because I'm a pastor.
Not because you're you.
But yeah, I see what you mean. Preparing sermons, doing church stuff and many other stuff in the night, like that's when I get lots of work done. So yeah, it's basically all of those little adjustments here and there. But I'm thinking in my mind, you don't have to say much about this because okay. that's not Chichi's question. But what if the lady is actually the one that has this public ministry, perhaps pastorally, and the guy is just a regular guy.
Wow.
We are all regular guys. That's not to say pastors are some special people in that sense. I mean, but in the terms of the uniqueness of the demands of their call and all of that, assuming the lady is the one that has this public out there ministry and the guy is just he has no call into ministry in that sense. His own ministry is in the workplace, in a secular setting, as a banker or whatever. How would that dynamic play out, or what would you say to a lady that is
having lived in the opposite? I'll say, just remember that the priority is your duty as a wife. Your ministry comes under that. The Bible says we submit to our husband. So whether you have anointing and it's so hot, and so if you're in a place and people fall down and get healed, your husband takes priority, not the church program you're organizing, not the charity you want to go. Your husband takes priority. And this is biblically correct, because that is what we are called to do. We are called to be
helpmates,
yes, before we go out there and help others. So if our homes are not in order, what order are we bringing to others? So there's that. And also, you see that when you guys are in sync, when you're in sync with your husband, when he's in line with what you're doing, you find it so easy and stressless to do. I know of some women that they are very powerful speakers, powerful ministers of God.
Probably more eloquent than their husbands.
Yes. Yeah. After they've gone out and people are like, oh, thank you, ma. That was beautiful. I've never heard that before in my life. While their drivers are approaching their house, while they're driving home, their heartbeats start picking up because their husband, they know that they've done something wrong. I am not a speaker person. But just taking any slight decision without callers, when I know caller is not really into it, we know innately when we are doing our thing.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a me, myself, and I thing. as much as it's your ministry, should be the both of you going on it together. I remember talking about Labi. I was listening. She's a Nigerian gospel singer. She was talking about her husband and how they started. However, she would sing and her husband would be playing the guitar. It's not because... No, is it the guitar or the piano? I don't know. We're playing an instrument. And she said it's not because it feels lesser than her, but because they're doing it together.
Mm.
So my advice to such person is, don't let your ministry get into your head. Don't let the attention you're getting get into your head. The first thing that should get into your head is your husband.
Mm.
It might not make sense to feminists, but that is who we are, and that is who we were called to be as a Christian person, a Christian lady. Let whatever comes out of you be in sync with what is in your home.
Mm.
Yeah, don't get... Because... These people that you're preaching to and helping will praise you and tell you you're the perfect people, but they're not the person you sleep with on your bed.
Mm.
If you sleep in a cold bed and it's just you, they're not going to warm you up in the night. Their praises won't be there. These things are transient. Remember that any ministry you have is to the glory of God. So you are just you're a messenger. You're like
basically,
you're like the drum they pour wine into. You're just the container.
Mm.
Everything that is in you is given by you. It's given by God.
Mm.
So don't take what is in you to be like the whole point of your life.
Mm.
Because as much as you're that container, there's another container similar to you, ready to stay by you if you would let them stay. So don't let your ministry get into your head.
That's brilliant and helpful. And I think it's not only helpful for that context, but even also for the men, because again, as well, the same thing can happen from the masculine point of view, whereby you let ministry take over. I like that Paul would admonish many of his younger ministers. I know he said something like that to Timothy, that you should take heed unto thyself and unto the ministry or the work of the ministry, as though to say you first. And in this case, you that you are married, it's not just you first, but you as together, you plural, you and your spouse, you and your home. In that sense, he that is not able to take care of his home, he would say, is worse than an infidel. So yeah, I think that's really helpful. Any concluding thoughts?
Yes. One final point that I want to say is, now that we are married, how have I been able to manage being your wife? I think the benefit of being a pastor's wife, I'd say, is I've learned more about God than I would have done on my own.
Mm.
Like hearing your husband talk to you about Ephesians 1. There's so much theological knowledge you can hold on your head without wanting to go and research it on your own.
Yeah.
I've read about homiletics,
apologetics.
Is this something like epistemology? That's biology. I've learned about African Christianity. The thing is, what helped me is when he talks to me about his projects, I listen.
Yeah.
I listen. It might not be what I'm into, law and legal things. It might not be my thing, but because he's my husband and in order to support him, I listen with interest, not just because I just want him to talk so he will feel like I'm listening.
You listen critically.
Yeah, sometimes I'm too critical, but yeah.
That's helpful. Yeah. But yeah.
So yeah. I'm aware of his project. We talk about it together. That way, I know we're, as much as we're in different, level of ministries, I'm still able to relate with him and he's able to relate with me. And how he has been helpful to my ministry. So sometimes when I wake up at 4 a.m. and think, I need to cook for this person and I want to check chicken. And I know Joshua would need to go to school 8 o'clock. He will be the one taking care of that area for me, so there's no gap left. So while I'm flitting about the kitchen, cooking chicken, making fried rice, and going on a long walk to go drop the food for someone and coming back to 8 when the child is supposed to be leaving home, he fills the gap. So that's how we manage it. It's understanding. We are young couples and we're not there yet. I know older pastor missus will hear this and think, you guys don't know anything. Please share what you experience with us and we'll come back and do like a sequel. But as in the short time that we've been in ministry, these are the things that has helped. Just filling the gaps. When your husband wants, when he has meeting like almost all day, staying upstairs with the children might be a lot, but just stay there. You know that you'll be back one day or something. It's just not being bitter, just knowing that all things work together for our good. And the thing, and what helps again is not comparing yourself with the other people.
That's very important.
Yes. Even normal relationship is not normal to other people. Every relationship is unique to itself and its circumstances.
Absolutely.
So even if you're married to an accountant, you have your own set of things that are working for you. So don't compare. Don't say, oh, I don't get to hold my husband's hand during church service. It doesn't make any difference. Sometimes you even want him to leave you alone and go to work, do something else. So yeah, so God bless us. And,
thank you. I think that's really helpful. And I hope Chichi finds that helpful. Okay. And every other Chichi is out there, in a sense, or people like Chichi would be. Yeah. I've spoken with a few people as well, actually, that kind of are afraid of marrying a pastor or getting into a relationship with someone that is clear about the fact that he's going into ministry. But there's really nothing to be afraid of. If it is God that is bringing you together, it's going to be a beautiful adventure.
And I pray that your partner, to all churches out there, your partner is also understanding.
Amen.
And they don't put their ministry over their families.
I mean, just...
it's just that balance. God would help us all of us, the accountants, the...
doctors.
Everybody's. Mm. Would all... God would help us find a good balance between our careers and our homes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. So, yeah, thank you very much. Hopefully, we'll come your way next week with another episode.
God bless you.
And remember, you are not alone
today.
God bless you.
Bye.